Certainly wonderful to be here this morning, to be with you, and certainly appreciated Brother Mike's mention in his prayer. I always want to present something that's helpful to the congregation, and normally when I do that, I'm presenting something that's helpful to myself, and we appreciate your presence, and hopefully I'll be able to present some thoughts that are worthy of consideration this morning. You might say, as I begin this lesson and as I go throughout my thoughts, that this is another New Year's lesson. And so if you're wondering about it, yes, it is. But I want to present some things that we can consider in our mindset, in our deeds, and things that we can have a mind for spiritual growth in. And I really don't want to say those things in reference only to 2022, because they'll be real if ever 2023 comes and 2024. But today, we're already a month and a half into this new year. It's the Lord's Day, and certainly I don't have a crystal ball and I don't believe in modern day prophets. But I've just kind of got the feeling it's going to be a good year. I don't have any doubt that there'll be some tragedy and some regret to go with the year. And we'll maybe lose some of those folks that we thought would always be there. Unexpected things are going to happen, some good and some bad. We'll disappoint ourselves and others because we behave in ways that we know we're something less than what God would have us to, and in so doing, we might potentially damage relationships or influences. These things just seem to be things that are constants in a world where there is nothing that seems to be constant except the Almighty God and His love for His children. I know that in a world where sin abounds, forgiveness is available. I know that the same book that says in Matthew 5 and verse 45 that God maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust also mentions that when we are faced with temptation in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, He will not suffer us to be tempted above what we are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. And in the closing verses of the book of Matthew, when the Lord gives the commandment that we so often refer to as the Great Commission, He states, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So in amongst all of the really bad things and sorrowful things that we often focus our minds upon, we need to realize that there's many good things in this earthly life. We are the children of God, and as such, we have hope. Not only do I feel that this will be a good year, but I have evidence to some degree that it already has been. I had a brother once tell me, only minutes after the New Year's meeting had concluded, that this was the first year that he had attended the New Year's meeting and didn't sit during the last services attempting to make deals with God. To my knowledge, there were many that were able to attend New Year's meetings and they all returned home safely. We can be thankful for these things. These are really great things about the year already. And in less than a couple of weeks, less than 2 weeks, we're going to have a gospel meeting right here in this place. And we need to be looking forward to that. We need to be excited about that. We need to be telling others about that. Matthew Barnes works with us here in this congregation to labor in an evangelistic effort. And he encourages, he wants us to help him in those things and work alongside him in those things. But you got to want to work. I just want to just say something real quickly, and that is right now, this very moment, you are closer to eternity than you have ever been before, and you have less time to prepare for it than you have ever had. I don't have any doubt that it's going to be a good year. And you can make it better on your own efforts towards spiritual growth. I want to talk for just a little bit about this, and certainly I can't go through some comprehensive talk with regard to this, but I just want to mention some things, hopefully that it'd be helpful. Again, part of it is a mindset, and part of it is the behaviors that go along with that. First of all, I want to talk about remembrance. Never lose sight of the ultimate goal of heaven. We have many distractions in this life, but we need to remember who we are and remember who it is that we have committed ourselves to, who it is that we belong to. 1 John the 4th chapter and verse 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Other translations of that same verse render "a peculiar people," as mentioned in the King James, as being a purchased people or a people for God's own possession. Remember why it is that you have hope. John 3 and verse 15, verse 16. And by the way, as we read through this, this is probably the most memorized verses of Scripture in the Bible. And yet I wonder how many times we know the words and don't really think about the meaning. John 3 and verse 15, it says, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Philippians 2 and verse 5 tells us something about the kind of mind that we are to have. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And that is the reason that we can have hope. We need to take more time to remember that our hope was purchased at an unimaginable price. Not only did Jesus give himself to be tortured to death on the cross, but a Father, the Almighty Father, our Heavenly Father, gave his only begotten Son so that we might have hope. Let's remind ourselves often and not forget this. We never need to lose sight of our eternal goal. And try me reminding yourself every morning when you get up in the morning, when you lay down to go to sleep at night, who it is that you belong to, who it is that you have chosen to serve. I want to talk about sacrifice for just a moment. And I feel guilty sometimes about even mentioning sacrifice because I look at all the sacrifices that brethren in this building make at times, and just feel a little bit guilty at times. Maybe this is one of those points where I'm talking more to myself, but I want to say a little bit about sacrifices. There's a lot of ways that we can sacrifice. We may think of sacrifice when we give to the collection, as we will a little further into the worship service. And sometimes we'll give of ourselves and of our time when we spend it with someone that's been shut in, maybe someone that's sick, maybe someone that just needs your help with something. Ultimately, we are to be living sacrifices according to Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 1. And that kind of puts things into more of a detailed perspective. And this is what I mean. That kind of makes it sound like it's an all-the-time thing. An all-the-time thing. More specifically, I'd like to say something about sacrifice as we show it, and you've heard me speak on this before, many of you, in fasting. And I hope this doesn't fall on deaf ears. It seems that much of the world, including the religious world, hold to the idea of dieting and fasting as being synonymous with one another. They are not. John 3 and verse 20 says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Jimmy Cating brought a wonderful sermon regarding this very scripture from this very pulpit at one time with regarding to this idea. And so as we sacrifice and humble the physical man, we are increased in our spiritual man, or in our spiritual relationship with God. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and verse 10 says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." I'd like for us to consider the idea of fasting maybe a little more in the future, not just for the sake of fasting, but with the goal in mind of fortifying your relationship with God. We often mention it in studies and in discussions concerning the Bible and spiritual matters, but how many of us fasted during 2021? And when you did, why? I don't mean for anyone to answer those aloud. It's just things for us to consider. We have a wonderful opportunity as we go in the next year. I haven't checked all of the references to fasting in the Bible, but I think that most often, whenever you find it, you're going to find it in bound with prayer. Once again, I'm going to say thank you to Brother Mike for the mention of the leadership here. I don't think I speak for myself when I say I am thankful for every mention in prayer and roles and responsibilities for each and every member here. Specifically in relation to the ordaining of elders is what the Bible speaks about. Prayer and fasting was something that they did in combination with this. Acts the 14th chapter, verse 23, "And they had ordained them elders in every, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." It would seem that the humbling of the physical man causes us to be more effective in our prayer life as the spiritual man becomes closer in his relationship with God. Let's see where fasting might be helpful to us as we move forward in this year and those to come. I want to talk for just a moment about forgiveness. Have you held on to something that you should have let go? Have you held on to a grudge, something that would hinder you as you go forward and in your spiritual growth? Forgiveness is something that I believe can be looked at in some different perspectives. One might be needing or asking, offering, obtaining, or giving. So I would like to focus on just a moment about the giving, the offering of forgiveness. We as God's children have been offered a gift of forgiveness. There's a lot said in the scriptures relating to the Christian characteristic of being a forgiving people. And there are certain consequences for not being a forgiving people. So often I pray that my life is such that if someone were to ask me to pray for them, that I could be confident that God heard my prayers, knowing that I'll be forgiven as I forgive. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I think in Matthew, the 18th chapter, it also teaches that forgiveness, and I want you to understand this, what I'm saying, is conditional. Remember how one of the servants owed a tremendous debt and couldn't pay it? And his master forgave him of that debt until the servant went and demanded the same of one of his fellow servants. However, he wouldn't forgive the debt of his fellow servant, and he had him thrown into prison. Others of their fellow servants informed their Lord about these events, and as a result, the scriptures say in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 31, "So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." Most of us are familiar with the parable of the prodigal son, and I'm not going to read through all of that right now, but I do want to reference that. You remember that there were two sons, and the youngest of the two demanded his inheritance, his portion of the goods that fell to him, and that was divided unto them. And it wasn't many days after that he departed into a faraway country where he wasted all of his living, all of those things that he had inherited. And he went and joined himself with a citizen of that country that he had gone into. And he was sent out to feed the pigs. And I guess he was so hungry that he would have eaten that which he was feeding pigs. And the Bible says when he came to himself that he thought about how many servants his father had that had all they needed to eat and much more. And he said, "I'm going to go back. I'm going to go to my father. And I'm going to say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." You know, the Bible says that when he was a great way off, that his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So there was a celebration for all of that. The father ran to the son when he was a great way off. And I covered this parable here a little while back. And one of the most striking things was that the father ran to the son, and he saw him while he was at a great ways off. And I think that's because he was looking for him. He was hoping for his return. But you know what? Repentance is needed. The father saw him because he was looking for him, and it's because the son returned in a repenting way. This parable is about God's willingness to forgive. So let me ask this. If God, who gave his only begotten son to be tortured to death on the cross so that we might have forgiveness, if he can do that, and is willing to do that, who are we to withhold forgiveness. I'd ask the same thing of those who can't seem to forgive themselves. Paul was clear in his statement regarding his past when he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Remember what Paul's past was? He persecuted Christians before becoming an apostle of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And in this coming year, please, let's not let the guilt and the mistakes of yesterday prevent us from being the kind of obedient servant that we could have been. Repent, ask for forgiveness, and forgive yourself so that this year you can press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to mention opportunity and influence. I want to tell a story. It's not a quick story, so I'm not going to read it. I'm a slow reader, and I don't want to keep you too long. But it's a good example of how people can have influence and can make a difference in other people's lives. It's particularly striking to me because I have a son named Kyle, and it's called Kyle's Friend. And many of you may heard it. If you have, bear with us for just a moment. Apparently, there was this one young man that was a pretty popular freshman in high school. He was a good athlete, was on the high school football team, and he saw a young man after school that was carrying all of his books home with him. And he saw kind of a mean act where a bunch of kids went up to him, they ran at him, knocked all his books out of his hands, and his glasses went flying. He fell down in the dirt. And this more popular young man saw it all happen. He thought it was really mean. And he went over and he helped him pick up his books. He helped him find his glasses and everything. And, you know, when he saw him carrying all those books, he had in his mind, wow, he's really got to be a nerd. He had a lot of things. He carried his books home for him. He had a lot of things planned for the weekend. And he invited Kyle to join him and his friends. Then on Monday morning when they were going back to school, he had all of his books. He's carrying them back to school. And he saw him, and Kyle just handed him half of his books. And they went on to school. They became really good friends. Over the course of their time in high school, they hung out quite a bit together. And over the course of their time in high school, they had gotten to where they were seniors, and they began to think about college. And Kyle was going to go become a doctor, and he was going to go off to one school. And this young man was going to go off to another and study business, had gotten a football scholarship. And I'll read what's the remaining part of this. It says, Kyle was valedictorian of the class. I teased him a lot about being a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation. I was so glad it wasn't me having to get up there and speak. Graduation day, I saw Kyle, and I looked. He really looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He filled out and actually looked good in classes. He had more dates than I had, and all the girls just loved him. Boy, sometimes I was just jealous. Today was one of those days. I could see that he was nervous about his speech, and so I smacked him on the back and said, "Hey, big guy, you'll do great." He looked at me with one of those looks, you know, the really grateful one, and he smiled and he says, "Thanks." As he started his speech, he cleared his throat and began and said, "Graduation is a time to thank those who help you make it through those really tough years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, and especially your friends. I'm here to tell you that being a friend to someone is the best gift that you can give them. I'm going to tell you a story. I just looked at my friend with disbelief as he told the story of the first day that we met. He planned to commit suicide over that weekend. He talked of how he cleaned out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do that. And so he's carrying all his things home. He looked hard at me and he gave me a little smile. Thankfully, I was saved, is what he said. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. I heard the gasp go through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us about his weakest moment. I saw his mom and his dad looking at me and smiling this grateful smile, and it wasn't until then that I realized its depth. Never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can change a person's life for better or for worse. God puts all of us in each other's lives to impact one another in some way. Look for how you can impact somebody else for good. You know, the song comes to mind, "I'll Be a Friend to Jesus." Remember that you always have the Lord, the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. In the coming year, don't underestimate the power of your influence or who might be paying attention to how you behave. What do you do when you're in enemy territory, away from spiritually supportive surroundings? It's the last thing I want to talk about. I want to cover this. What do you do in your spare time? You know, when you're not at church and when you're not around church friends and so forth, most of us are filling a portion of our time with either school or work, and there's a certain amount of time that we spend eating and sleeping and maybe involving ourselves in some kind of recreational activity. Me time, if you would. There's nothing wrong with that. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says that bodily exercise profiteth little, but it doesn't say it profiteth nothing. You may not be able to tell it by looking at me, but I do believe that exercise can help in relieving stresses and generally help us to feel better. But what then? I would guess that my studies have led me to the following conclusions and the true meaning of Philippians 2 and verse 12, where it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." I want to tell you that this doesn't happen without effort, without work. I don't know that there's only one specific answer to the question of what then, or what do you do with your time. Knowing what is truthful and godly, righteous, pure, and virtuous, it may be the only thing you know, or it may be that only you know the best way to fill your spare time. All that I really know, to do in hopes that there will be something to help each of us is to offer some suggestions that we find in the Bible. One of those things that we can know for sure is that there are many examples of how idleness relates to sin. Let's do things with a mind of spiritual productiveness in the coming year. If we are able to answer the question of when I have done everything else, what do I do then? Then it's clear that you need something more to do. My mind goes back to those things that I can read in the theme text of a young speakers meeting that we had years ago. Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I consider the words of these two verses, two things in particular stand out, and that is, number one, that we are to be living sacrifices, and number two, that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So many people would ask, what does that mean? Well, I'm one that might ask that question at one point in my life, and what does it mean to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? I believe that Philippians, the fourth chapter and verse 8, gives us a good start in understanding an appropriate response to the question, where it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, by a study of the scripture, we understand that the renewing of our minds would involve giving time to meditating on certain things. My allotted time doesn't allow me to dive into all of those things other than to say the general area of if there be any virtue or if there be any praise. Oh, I feel like I would do an injustice by not mentioning Philippians 4 and verse 8 if I don't also mention the verse that follows that. So many times we think of these things in terms of really good suggestions. I want you to consider verse 9 where it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So, if anyone asks you how we are to go about renewing our minds, Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9 give us some help on knowing how to push impure and evil thoughts out of our minds with thoughts that will renew your mind in a godly way. I wish that I had more time to present on the different areas of what Philippians 4 and verse 8 says. It's important that we understand, since it would appear to be a command and not just a good suggestion. One last set of scriptures kind of helps us understand that we must fill our lives and our minds with godly things, or they will be filled with less preferable things and will hinder us in our relationships with God. Luke 11, beginning in verse 23, it says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh unto him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So the answer to what do you do with your time away from church and church friends, read. Study the Bible. Hold regular conversations and studies with other brethren. Give thought and meditate on the things that are true and honest and just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Take on a hobby. Read a book. Exercise. Learn to cook. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3 and 17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And remember that doing nothing is not an option. As evidenced by what we see in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, and what it says about young widows having cast off their first faith. 1 Timothy 5 and 13 says, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Matthew 20 and verse 6 also speaks of how the master of a vineyard that was looking for workers said, "Why stand ye here all the day long, all the day idle?" In 2022, spend your time in prayer, spend time in study, meditate on these things, invite someone to church with you. If they say no, then don't feel like you've met your quota. Keep asking those people that you come in contact with. Just in conclusion, it seems like only a few days ago that we stood on the brink of a new year. The old year would end and the new year would emerge. And over the years, there have been many people that stood on the brink of decision, thresholds, if you will. This morning, if you are of age, the age of accountability, and you have not taken the steps of obedience that would cleanse you from your sins and make you a child of God, then let me propose that you stand on the brink of decision. We can read about King Agrippa, who once stood on such a brink and sadly made the decision that would not lead to the bountifully promised heavenly home. Acts 26 and verse 27 says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." There were many that stood on the brink of decision on the day of Pentecost as Peter preached Jesus to them. They stepped off of the brink in their response when they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter gladly told them to repent and be baptized, every one in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And there were about 3,000 souls that were added to the church that day. There's an old song that says, "Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on thee I'll call." The last verse of that same song says, "Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail, almost but lost." Won't you please consider beginning your life anew in servitude to God, starting right now? Don't tarry, don't wait too long on the brink of decision. This concludes all my thoughts. I hope that I've said something that's been helpful in some way. We haven't gone through all the steps of obedience, but if you stand on that brink, the scriptures tell us that upon hearing the word of God that we must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must confess our belief in Jesus Christ, repent of our past way of life, confess our belief in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins. You become a child of God's. If you've once taken these steps and you've fallen back into sin, done something of a public nature where you would desire the prayers of the faithful, we'd be happy to pray with you and for you. If there's one of either class, please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.